Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. As the time of the pole shift comes near, the Earth changes more obvious, people make their individual preparations. In many cases, this is a spiritual preparation, an anticipation of better times to come, and an opportunity to help others through the chaos and confusion. Physical preparation ranges from preparing a fully functional and self-sufficient survival site to what is termed a bug-out bag, to merely getting in physical shape. Individuals become aware of what the coming times will bring by many routes. Some are clearly contactees. Others rely on an inner knowledge their soul has, having lived through prior pole shifts, and yet others noting the earth changes. It is a time of individual preparations. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Life Changes, written October 15, 1995. Contactees who have become comfortable with any role they have volunteered to perform during the transformation are seldom passive. They reflect this in their daily life. As the transformation is now, if the awakened contactee has chosen a role, they seldom delay. Those in the service to others, of whom we are speaking, want to assist with preparations for the cataclysms or helping mankind understand what is to befall them and its import. Frequently, these contactees are already acting, as service to others do, as a mainstay for others. Stepping up to larger responsibilities does not concern them, but those who have come to rely on the contactee are frequently alarmed. Life changes are planned and enacted by the contactee, who often is grimly determined and turns a deaf ear to complaints. Not infrequently, a well-paying job is dropped so that more time can be spent on the pressing tasks at hand, which the contactee is eager to take up. A spouse or children who have to curtail their standard of living or move to more modest quarters are often furious. Family and friends are sent to argue with the contactee, who is, in their eyes, failing to listen to reason. What's gotten into them? Mental illness is suspected, but discarded when none of the classic symptoms show up. Sometimes divorce or alienation from the family results. Often old friends who fail to understand are dropped, and new friendships are developed among those of a like mind. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, Life Changes. Mary felt the time was right in 2003, and left a delta area along the East Coast to put a foothold in the Midwest. In this, she put her marriage at risk and alienated her family. But she felt that her husband would be more likely to move in time to safety if she were there as a beacon than if she remained on the delta pretending there was no worry. She reports being a contactee and also simply having a soul knowledge of what is to come, being an old soul. Regardless of whether her husband moves in time, her decision was also based on wanting to survive the shift to help others into the time beyond the pole shift, which she anticipates to be a better time for mankind.
Greetings. My name's Mary, and I'm from New Jersey and recently moved to the Midwest because of the message in Zeta Talk, but even deeper than that, a spiritual knowing that this event is around the corner and largest transformation for all us earthlings, and a challenge to see how we deal on all levels. Reflecting back to childhood, I know I had several deep-seated memories that aren't of the usual type that involve encounters, and I think being a contactee increased my awareness of what I want to do and try to help others in this event. And I guess the element of doubt being ever prevalent kind of increases the challenge to try to communicate to others and get them to see how you feel. I have a dear husband that was my high school sweetheart, and he stuck by me even though it's been 2 years since I've left. But we always had such a close relationship, and I'm sure he's a contactee as well, and we can discuss most anything, and I believe he'll plan to come here, and I hope it's in time. I guess that's one of my large worries for a personal basis. But other than that, I just feel that there will be so much life lost. But on the bright side, on the other side of the event, it will be a new world, and the real, true, most important things will come to the surface. We'll be more telepathic, and we'll be able to care for each other and want to and share all our talents and love, and children will learn quickly, and we'll enjoy each other's company. We'll want to help those that need it, and we'll be driven to meet up with each other and explore and enjoy the earth and keep the environment healthy. That seems to be one pivotal thing with many contactees, is knowing that the ecology is an important living thing, and we're all involved in its keeping it healthy. And also, I think in my late 20s, when the children were getting a little more grown, and even before that, but just a desire to read everything I could about Earth changes and UFOs and what is this that I feel that's in another dimension that's not solid like this one. I think the future holds a lot of challenges, but more than that, we're really chosen in the spirit world to come here at this time and fulfill our missions and to care for each other.
Such dramatic life changes, putting the contactee at odds with family and friends, is not uncommon. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Individual Preparations, written October 15, 2001. On an individual basis, the subliminal mental and emotional preparations done by many who have sensed that something momentous is about to occur will move into the overt. Individuals who have been watching the news, seeing the erratic weather and the increasing inability of scientists to explain the changes, and the impotence of governments to address the obvious implications for their citizens, will decide to take action. In the main, these individuals are not contactees, though many are, as they have given the call due to their concerns. The steps that an individual takes will differ, depending upon the individual's spiritual orientation. Those who have considered changes in light of family needs, such as the need for children to receive the best education, or the need for a particular family member to receive expert medical attention, or the need for employment to support the family at a comfortable level, or the need for able-bodied members of the family to be close to those needing physical assistance. Often these individuals have lined up an alternative site as a vacation home or second home, or made contacts during business trips so as to be able to move if the need arises. Those in urban areas are most likely to be struggling for alternate living, as well-publicized riots in heavily populated areas have brought home the danger when times turn ugly. Those living along coastal areas, subject to tearing tides or on fault lines subject to increasing quakes, likewise increasingly consider their alternatives. The service to other guided individual or family will make their move not when the opportunity arises, but when the advantages to moving offset the advantages to staying. This varies and can be no more a trigger than the loss or threat of a loss of a job, or the end of a school year, or the failure of a family garden. End of the quote from Zeta Talk, Individual Preparations. Denial of what is to come, even among those who are intelligent and informed, and with a physical capacity to plan well and early, is common. Robert in Texas reports, and I quote, "Some people seem interested at first, but I never hear from them again. Others say they do not believe any of what I say, rather like their belief makes it untrue. Some say they think the end is coming, but do not know how soon. Still others say it will be okay, whatever happens, because God is in charge, and the rapture will take them away, or they will just die." End of the quote. The Zetas report that in this denial, many are expressing their decisions. They do not wish to survive, or know they will not survive. Others are in denial as to make changes to prepare for the coming times would put their life in too much turmoil. In either case, denial is extremely common. Onen, on the west coast in Southern California, has made personal preparations to bolt to safety, but finds his words of warning falling on deaf ears, even among those family members he is certain are contactees.
Hi, Onen here in Santa Monica. To the question, is something big coming, and why? Certainly this all around. First, a few years back, I had an accident where I had a near-death experience. In that experience, I recalled all kinds of lost memories, evidently. I was amazed to recall and while I was out of it. And after I came, I came to after the experience, these memories stay with me even to today, 15 years later. And I recalled visitations with beings that were friendly. I can remember learning the word friendly. I think it was from a cartoon, Casper the Friendly Ghost, kind of, which was one of my favorites when I was a kid. And we're talking preschool age, under 5 years old. I had two younger brothers who were toddlers. Anyway, they remembered, and we remembered into our childhood and talked about the experiences with these visitations, with the beings in the woods when we'd be off by ourselves. Also at night in our room, and we were never really alarmed, but somehow I had forgotten that, and then an experience, I was, like I said, amazed to recall that I had these experiences many, many times, and I can remember trying to tell my parents at night. I think my younger brother got up and ran in the room several times to wake my parents, and they would tell them that he had a bad dream, and my dad was a police officer, so he would have us go to bed rather gruffly. So it wasn't a good experience to disturb them. Anyway, we were told it was nightmares, and I suspect we just assumed that's what a nightmare is and left it alone. And I don't remember anything after probably age six like that anymore. But my brother and I talked about it even when we were older kids, but he will not talk about it now. And the theme here is denial, isn't it? Later on, I worked in a high-level security position with it's going to go unnamed, federal department. And one day we were outside, my colleagues and I, and it was nighttime. And lo and behold, we witnessed for 45 minutes a unidentified flying object, the classic glowing disc shape. Anyway, I say all of this about the UFO experience because it just validates the source of what we're kind of talking about. And the theme about denial is that, and kind of strange and unique to me, I guess, is that after, even during the experience of watching the globe, and we were grown men at this time, it was kind of wild because we weren't validating it for each other. I noticed I kind of wanted to you know, say, do you see that or whatever? But for 45 minutes, it was almost like staring. I wanted to speak, but the rest of the party didn't want to talk. They just kind of walked around, milled around, and this thing made maneuvers over us, sometimes only maybe 100 feet over us, and also all into the horizon and disappearing in and out of a mountain, escorted sometimes with several black helicopters. So anyway, the reason I bring that up is because these experiences kind of tie into this whole thing about my personal education and the mind, mass minds in denial. So the next day, it was as if no one remembered anything, and certainly didn't want to talk about it, and I remembered everything, and it was astounding to me, and that was shocking. It was so powerfully shocking that it made me doubt my own self for a while, for a long time, and also if that would have been a real experience or not, until I had that near-death experience a few years later. And then I recalled more of that kind of stuff as a kid. And anyway, it's as if with that experience, with the near-death experience, it's as if I began to see the world as a, like the movie The Matrix, which is a favorite of mine. After I began to understand what it was saying, I'm a movie buff kind of, and I found that movie very insightful. I noticed a vast increase in my intuition after the experience of in the accident, and I even recalled. Now this moves more closer to earth changes. I also recall as a boy, and my mother will validate that, being very sensitive, but sensitive as into other people, like empathetic or even telepathic. But I also recalled after the experience as a boy in the pool, when growing up in Santa Monica and California, Southern California area, we were in the pool a lot, and also in the tub, again, really little, splashing water and imagining cities being covered with water. And that's kind of freaky. It freaks me out to say that now in the recall because it seems so ominously real in this day and age. And later on as a teenager, I had another experience, if you can tell, the dream or a vision, because I was awake and I also had company with me, where I saw the California area, for sure, my hometown area, with some of the familiar towers or what was left of them spiring out of the filthy ocean. The ocean was brown and it was very high, and I saw a news reporter on a cliff, windy, stormy cliff, trying to make a news report, and I got the gist of what he was saying. I also saw myself watching the report on the news, and it was about the age I am now. And it was very unsettling. That changed my life because at that point, I began to start talking and trying to find out if I was going crazy or not. I was not under any influences of illicit substances. But I ended up really taking my parents' spirituality to heart, as they were very spiritual and, had raised us, in a variety of scriptural background, the angels and so forth. So that kind of gave me an explanation for, actually, I shouldn't say it gave me an explanation. I found over the years some explanation for what in religion that really was kind of taken for granted or tongue-in-cheek, which is, the being references and some of the other maybe mystical sides of religion and scripture. So that seems to make more sense as I get older, especially after I started to look for more validation of my personal experience and found it a few years ago going to the popular metaphysical bookstores and finding a plethora of experiences from people who had intuitions and visions going back to the 30s of the times we live in now, reading books like Chet Snow and Gordon Michael Scallion, and then my folks, ironically, who are very old now, listened to Coast to Coast, where I heard and got introduced to Nancy and the Zetas there, and everything that's put so much order into what I've studied, what I've experienced in my own life, it validates deeply me personally and spiritually. And also it makes so much sense for what's going on in history, my experience with working with the government. It just validates too much, more than anything, even more than some of the religious upbringing I had. So I'm committed to where you're coming from and where the Zetas are. I wanted to point one more thing out that the idea of fear can be, again, being a movie, is always a little bit unnerving to me, and probably why I like Star Trek probably more than anything out there, because it didn't present the alien, the so-called alien, as a threat necessarily. There was a possibility that they were much more like us or even had something to share that was beneficial. And that seemed to be much more in line with my own intuition about what's out there. And this towing the line of terror and being afraid of everything that could potentially be empowering is the weakness of the whole, shall we say, veil or matrix. As far as preparation, my family, about denial again, sharing this with my family and friends, I would say maybe 1 out of 50 really were sparked by what I said and either had to share something, experience with that over the years, experience similar to mine, or they at least listened and maybe were moved in some way. So a few friends were made just from sharing this, but very few. I would definitely say, like those guys, those colleagues that I were with, many, including some of my siblings, shut down, and the intimacy in our relationship, you know, even as brothers and sisters and so forth, is much weaker because they don't seem to be able to handle this or don't want to handle it. And I don't push it, but nonetheless, just because I brought it up, and maybe I was a little more forceful when I was younger, but at this point, it's more like hands, arm's length. And many of them live here in Southern California. I have to come to peace with that. They went through the Northridge earthquake just like I did, and know how devastating it can be. And now in the news with the tsunami and all of the in the New Orleans thing, I'm sure and I hope that it sparks them to be more conscientious, but I'm not getting that feeling. So the numbers that I hear the Zeta say, I can understand it, that the numbers of loss that can come about with this. I don't even know if myself or my family will survive this, but we're certainly going to give it a try. And so we have prepared a we had a plan anyway because of the earthquake preparedness thing. So we have, you know, stored water and food. My folks raised us like that. So that was another thing. I kind of take a survey with friends and some colleagues that I work with, and that just to see, especially since the news has been with the horrible situation with those inner city folks in New Orleans. And I kind of throw it at them. How much water do you have anyway, by the way? And what do you think about getting more, especially your younger families? And the people are open more than ever to little subtle hints. So this is probably the best time ever for preparedness and consciousness. So anyway, we have a month or so stored water and food. And then we have our preparedness packs. Each of us have a backpack with the basic tools and knives, batteries, a few batteries, flashlights, lighters, matches, dry fruit, about a couple of pounds of dry fruit. And we have frozen smoked meats that I've smoked, and we freeze them in there in sealed packs so they can stay there for a long time. They can be taken out of the freezer and stay edible for a long time. Warm camping gear, warm camping clothing, ponchos, about 5 pairs of socks each, of high quality type wool and cotton blend, hiking shoes, high quality also, terrain passes, first aid kits, each one of us have a little mace, squirter, and I have a taser, and that's the most we're willing to have. A favorite book or some kind of entertainment like that, just one, something to read. Water pouch, and I carry also the water pump purifier, and we have a tarp. And again, that's all packed up and ready just to grab in the garage. We planned a hiking route out of the city, which each one of us is familiar with. We rehearsed until we all passed with flying colors, in case we couldn't drive. And we have an agreed upon meeting place in case we're not all together if for some reason we need to move, start moving on foot. And having been through the Northwest quake, you cannot rely in a quake zone. You cannot rely on any traffic, not even your car, because cars have to have paved roads. You know, even an SUV or a Jeep can only do so much. So the best thing is to be in good health and plan walking. So we have an agreed upon meeting place about 10 miles to higher ground, and there. And this has also been shared with relatives who are open to the possibility of, since we live in California, the possibility that we would have to contact them and perhaps where we'd be. And then a general route in case it were more like the more devastating cataclysm, like there was no electronics to make phone calls, and we had to make a real run for our lives, whole shift kind of scenario, where we would go into the Midwest. And I think that's pretty much what I wanted to share here. This is all pending, by the way. The initiation of this would be depending on my intuition, which seems to be much stronger as to events and general things in our family. And my immediate family is much more committed to my leadership that way, and that's really a blessing. We've been looking for we've been looking for a new community to move to for a couple of years. Initially, I was looking at the Four Corners area, South Colorado, New Mexico. But lately, I'd say this summer, that seems to be fading away as a possibility. And I just would like to end this with a statement that seems to come up lately from a favorite teacher of mine, where I was told, that a wise man once said, live each day as if it's your last, embracing every joy, yet plan for 1,000 years of life.
Beyond denial, those refusing to digest the earth changes which are becoming increasingly obvious may attack the messenger. In this, they are attempting to make the earth changes stop, to make what stands before us go away. And I quote from Zeta Talk, The Insecure, written December 5, 2004. There are those so in the grip of fear and insecurity that they attack the messenger for no other reason. The message, in short, is unthinkable. Enter Planet X and the Zeta Talk message that the world will turn upside down. Experience earthquakes that will shatter cities everywhere, roll flood tides inland for hundreds of miles along coastlines everywhere, explode industrial complexes into cesspools of chemical pollution, destroy the communication and transportation networks so that travel is on foot or impossible. Remove the convenience of electricity and clean water supply to the home and replace this with long dark nights and drinking water smelling like the neighbor's sewage. Suddenly stop the delivery of foodstuffs to the local store with no replacement so that rats and weeds and rotting corpses become the only food available. For many, especially those in cities or whose lifestyle by choice or necessity has made them soft and dependent, this is what the message means, unthinkable. There are no options that come readily to mind for these individuals. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. And thus, they attack the messenger.
Hi, I'm Agnes from Ontario. From research, I know that this phenomenon has been recorded throughout esoteric history. From observing the skies, I see that the constellations are in fact not in their place, and that the moon is off-tilt, appearing through the clouds to have a blood-red halo. Also, the stars appear red, there have been too many devastating natural disasters, and the ground is rumbling beneath us. That's just to name a few things. To me, it's obvious, but I've dreamt about it for years. Many profound changes have recently taken place in my life, both chosen and incidental. I've always been a spiritual person, but admittedly, it's time to pick up the pace. My main spiritual breakthroughs were in accepting ET contacts and in past life regressions. My actual lifestyle has been affected by both. I've started living more aesthetically as well as training much harder in the combative and fitness-related arts. I feel inspired to learn to hold my own and driven to live up to my full potential. It's a worthwhile challenge. Talking to others about this is painful. I've gotten used to being told by strangers that I'm mentally ill and need to seek help. They clearly don't understand mental illness, so it doesn't faze me. Luckily, my family's not so cruel, as they've had so-called paranormal experiences, but they refuse to make any lifestyle changes or to believe that this is serious enough to prepare for. Other than that, I've pretty much severed all connections with others because my priorities don't coincide with their chosen avocations. There are, however, a few rare and brilliant people with whom I can discuss this. I plan to have weathered myself enough before it's too late. Then when the time comes for action, I hope to be able to help people through this in whatever way I can. Now I am experiencing a personal crisis similar to what others have described. Some fear not having the money to buy camping supplies for their family or enough time to learn to swim. But I know that I have not done all that I could have to prepare myself mentally and physically. I am coming face to face with my own inadequacies. But my biggest worry is that I have nothing to offer others. How in hell am I supposed to help them exactly? This has really gotten me down. I know that I can get my mind and body up to speed, but I am at a loss about what I can do to assist people in preparation and in the aftermath. So I can come off as really harsh sometimes, but I'm just frustrated.
Some individuals, seeing the earth changes and increasing discussions in the media in those countries such as the UK that are more open to talk about the possibility of a 10th planet coming in from the direction of Orion, as Planet X has, are making solid plans. They plan to be completely self-sufficient. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Self-Sufficient, written April 15, 1999. There will be no security blanket that the populace can rely upon, so self-reliance must be the rule. The panic that will settle into governments as the time approaches, when each individual will be dealing with their own personal panic and anxieties, is completely unpredictable. It may run in all manner of directions. The movies that have been put out of late, where asteroids are falling and a calm prevails, and the government is like a rock of logic and quietly empties towns or flies people up to blow up asteroids, are so far from the truth as to be ludicrous. You will have your military running down the halls and bumping into each other, leaving their posts, turning guns on themselves and others. It is totally unpredictable. What will a frightened animal do when cornered? Well, your entire government and bureaucracies will turn into that in the last few months. So the populace should not look to them, but rather look to themselves. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. Tom, in the UK, is such an individual and addresses the following questions in regard to his situation. 1. Why he thinks something big is around the corner. 2. What physical or spiritual changes he has made in his life. 3. The difficulty he has in talking to others about this. 4. What plans he has, what steps he plans to take, and 5, his biggest worries.
Hello, my name is Tom. I live in UK, where they show many programs connected to the event. I mean the poll sheet. I know that something big is around the corner only because Service to Others, Zetas and Nancy told me. I feel something big is around the corner because everything that Zetas are saying to us is becoming true as time is passing by. It's not only that thing on the pictures or train accidents or tsunami or Katrina or massive headaches. Pilots are familiar with Jepsen. There is something like airport chart and you have magnetic direction of the runway on that chart. And sometimes when you line up the runway and preparing for takeoff, you can read by indications from different sources like Jepson Airport Chart, Magnetic Compass, Global Position System, Directional Gyro, and from another kind of systems. The readings from instruments and from airport charts, which is some kind of map of the whole airport, should be more or less the same, but because of some reasons like earth wobble or something, the readings are not the same. Another reason why I feel something big is around the corner is in the behavior of people around you. They are more and more selfish and some are more and more good-hearted. And of course, undeniable weather extremes and economic collapse, and the puzzles are becoming one clear picture of reality just before the shift service to others described. And of course, the moon. There is no why, there is no answers, only choices. There is no if, but when, and for some entities, there is even no when. What physical or spiritual changes I have made in my life? Physical one, I'm putting my efforts into knowledge. My life is modest and simple, but not only this. I'm buying things that will help others in the future, like books about fish cultivation, fishing ponds, wind power generation, hydroponics, glasshouse construction, wits and the like. And some books for entertainment, like science fiction from Arthur C. Clarke or similar. Many pages from Zeta Talk. Few fishing rods, many fishing hooks, lines, garden tools, seeds. Next books will be about how to cultivate chickens, ducks, geese, crayfish, these small lobsters from freshwater. Bees, mushrooms, canning or drying food. I could spend my time for learning more about flying, which is time consuming, and keep this way, but instead I'm turning into direction of self-sufficiency and low profile. I'm researching ZetaTalk website for a few years, and I'm trying to follow their advice as much as I can. Spiritual changes, well, less for relationship like boy and girlfriend, more love for children, and this is not only because of the beautiful big eyes, and more empathy for others, more flow from inside to outside, more open for sharing information, more for sharing things like belongings. I talk what I think. I'm honest with people. Nothing to hide, everything to share is my destination, I hope. The difficulty I have in talking to others about this. Well, some people think ZetaTalk is some kind of sect. Others don't want to accept this event inside the bracket, inside the time frame of their lifetime. Many choose less struggle and less learning. They choose more pleasure and more fun in their lifetime. Some people don't want to understand that coming shift is not about believing. Most people don't want to know about cataclysm or aftertime because their point of view can be changed this way. And they don't want to hear about changes because when you know, there is no going back to the point when you don't know. Many don't want to be disturbed when the war is far away, so they will wake up in shock when more than war will arrive in front of their doors. I don't have problem to talk about this. It is rather that people have problems to recite this. They do not see difference between knowledge and wisdom and don't want to understand that smart doesn't mean wise. They don't want to connotate all the facts predicted by Zetas. They're looking elsewhere. And what is even worse, they think they are right, not Zetas. They are trying to teach me that first I need to learn to take care for myself and then to think about caring for others, but I don't think it works that way. What plans I have, what steps I plan to take. My plans, well, I'm buying a field in safe location in Poland. Now with wind measurements for the last 2 years, I'm trying to establish hydroponics inside a glasshouse before the shift and mushrooms cultivation outside the greenhouse. Also fish cultivation under the roof with sodium bulbs, because only sodium bulbs can give you the whole spectrum. And I'm trying to buy wind power generator like second-hand Nordtank 150 from Denmark. I was studying a part of engineering, and from my point of view, I wouldn't advise homemade wind power generation. All this aerodynamics and all this stuff. But about my plans, not only this, I plan to make some chicken coop for all these chickens, geese, ducks, and to make small smoke house to smoke fish. And well, to have water after distillation, and the toilet with the gravitational force will be to give the minerals for plants to grow. Also on the roof, fish pond or some kind of great fish pond. Steps. Well, steps is to put money in such location for growing food, to survive the ship, you know, metal roof, etc. To share books and knowledge about what happened and what for, to try to explain what people should do and what people should expect, to care for food plants and to care for cleaning water. What is my biggest worries is that I noticed that to buy what you need to survive takes time. You won't get it in one day, in one go. Never-ending rain or drizzle can make high humidity, which can cause problem like failure of electrical device, like sodium bulbs for hydroponics. Rain or drizzle can cause smaller wind force. It means only big wind power generators will be sufficient to maintain growing of plants and to maintain cultivating fish. Problem is that most people cannot afford to buy such generator. There are people who know what to do and want to do much before shit, but can't do anything because of the lack of funds or because of the lack of understanding from other people around them. There are also people who have money but choose to spend or keep their funds elsewhere. The problem is that much could be done, but there is still a little action, and the progress of preparation is far too slow. When there is no sunlight, bees don't want to play their lifetime game. The problem is that this or other insects might be important for plants to blossom, and not everyone will have beehive inside greenhouse. And that would be all for now.
Life after the pole shift will be radically different. Those working soft, white-collar jobs suddenly finding themselves with skills not valued, while those working blue-collar jobs, hands-on, or farming, find their skill sets of value. Life upside down. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Life Upside Down, written July 31st, 2004. No longer forced to put in hours that restrict one's life virtually to the workplace. No longer forced to pander to the supervisor or boss and restrict one's chatter to reflect the proper attitude. No longer forced to freeze out social interactions that threaten the status quo or repress the urge to spontaneously help others. The former drone of the status quo finds themselves more alert, feeling an energy they had lost early in life as restrictions closed about them like a net, and perhaps feeling alive for the first time in decades. End of the quote from Life Upside Down. I, Nancy, find myself in this position, ironically, before the shift. I knew, because of my contactee experiences, that a pole shift was pending. In order to live a normal life, I buried this knowledge deep within me, not even allowing myself to realize I was a contactee until the age of 55. Within a year of that realization, Zeta Talk became a reality, and I was distracted from my normal life. Perhaps having my children early, so that I would be free to move into my role, was part of the plan, as what I had to lose by moving to a safe location early, what I would be putting at risk, was only my solid and highly compatible marriage of 20 years. I had an opportunity to buy an old family homestead as my cousins were being forced by illness to sell. I took this opportunity and moved to central Wisconsin, humid in the summers and bone-chilling cold in the winters, where the Bay Area of San Francisco, where I lived with my husband, had an idyllic climate. I moved to a rural area among the cows and cornfields, redneck country where speaking against the Bush cabal is sacrilege, from international and fascinating San Francisco were sailing and whale watching, beach combing, meals in Chinatown or along the Embarcadero, views of a fog-shrouded Golden Gate Bridge, walking the trails among the beautiful redwoods was our normal fare. My husband stayed behind and eventually divorced me. My greatest worry is that my husband, or should I say former husband, will change his mind at the last minute, deciding not to go out with the tidal waves but to live, and will find himself stranded and alone. To those who complain that they cannot get their family to listen to them, I report the same in the main. There are those who relate to the earth changes and give them credence, and those who slam the door and deny all. It all seems to be either black or white. Either they do or they don't. No in between. However, I feel I'm being a role model by taking the steps I have, walking my own talk. No longer at a desk job, pulling down a healthy pay, I garden, save seed, keep chickens, and have become familiar with manual pump operation, and walk around a darkened house at night practicing for the time when the lights will go out. In that I was close to retirement age when I made the move to Wisconsin and was not forced into full-time employment, I in essence have been able to experience life upside down early. Some people, aware with a deep inner knowledge of the cataclysms to come, have prepared well and early, though are distressed with the lack of a firm date, and certainly were distressed by the Zeta Talk white lie of 2003. This white lie forced Bush to invade Iraq for its oil early, so as to be in place by the false date, and the Bush campaign to commandeer the oil fields of the Middle East has now fallen into pieces. The white lie also showed the plans to use harsh repression of Homeland Security to, in essence, murder its citizens, as was shown during Hurricane Katrina when FEMA, under the thumb of Homeland Security, was delayed for days while the citizens of New Orleans drowned. And I read from Zeta Talk White Lie, written May 23, 2003. And what is the effect on the common man being denied, even at this late date, any honest information on what is about to devastate their lives? For those who have made very early changes in their lives, moving to safe locations and settling in there, an exact date is not crucial. End of the quote. Rich, in Pennsylvania, was distressed by the white lie of 2003, but shows great determination to help others survive the turmoil and emerge into a better time in the future. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Likely Outcome, written March 13, 2004. Those who have determined to survive, taking their loved ones and others into a new life, can plan. End of the quote.
Hi, my name is Rich. I'm in Pennsylvania, and I've been involved with Zeta Talk for the last couple of years. Basically, what transpired back in the late 1990s is that myself and my wife sensed something was coming, but we did not know exactly what it was. We knew that we had to prepare for some catastrophes that may come down the pike, and we actually started stocking up and doing things together. I had no clue about Zeta Talk. I had no clue about UFOs or reincarnation, but I had always been a person that always was involved and wanted to know what the answers of why we are here, what we're doing here, what is the purpose of life, etc. We decided to build a shelter ourselves. The way I got involved with it after doing some research and reading things, Zachariah Sitchin with his 10th Planet got me involved. And also the fact that I always wondered why civilization just sprung up 3000 BC. All of a sudden, and we're only here on this planet 6,000 years in the course of a planet that's billions of years old. And of course, my religious upbringing was Roman Catholic, which limits me to not believing in reincarnation, etc., and other avenues available. So I've always researched pro and con religion and decided that there's something else out there. I've always been interested in UFOs, too many knowledgeable people, and have been, I believe, seen things. And I personally, I have never seen anything, but at the same time, I do believe some counts of other people. So we decided that we wanted to build some shelter, but we didn't want to travel anywhere to go to. So we actually have a shelter attached to our home, which is in a safe zone. Back in 2001, I became more familiar with the Planet X and the whole Nancy Zeta talk, and did some research on the internet, in which case I learned a heck of a lot of things about it, and convinced me that, well, I was on the right track. We did extra storing of food, water, and basically stocked up for a whole slew of people. And I wanted to have my door open to anybody that was ventures in to try to save them and protect them for whatever's coming down the pike. Things were happening in the 90s with some once in a 100-year flooding out in the Mississippi and other things like that. You take all these little things that happen and it turns into something you knew was amiss. Something's going on. The sun with this 12-year cycle that never ended, starting in 2000. And then Zeta Talk taught me a lot about what is really coming, what is really happening. It all fit the pattern. It fit the archaeological evidence from Zachariah Sitchin. It fit the everything else. Then in 2003, I was a little disappointed with the Zeta Talk white lie about how the planet was supposed to hit and the pole shift was supposed to come. And it didn't happen, and I was a little devastated, just like everybody else was. I mean, go through all this planning, and I had a lot of my family and friends believing in it. At the same time, my credibility was a little shot. I've recovered since then. I've kind of taken a more of a background position, but I keep them informed each time there's a new message from the Zeta Talks. I email my friends and relatives, but quite frankly, yes, they know something's going on. That's the way they put it. But at the same time, they're not 100% certain of what it is. I personally have felt that the last couple of years, evidence is there. I mean, it's all over the place. Those put all the little things that are going on together, and it adds up to a big picture. In the last 9 months, we've had three major catastrophes that I know of. I mean, the big tsunami around Christmas time that killed hundreds of thousands, the recent Katrina hurricane, and finally, which hasn't been talked about much, the 37 inches of rain in India, which probably devastated thousands and killed thousands of people in that area, but you don't read much about it. I check a lot of websites. I know the mainline press and news coverage has been limited, and you don't hear much about it. But you add all these little things. Last year there was a hurricane that hit Brazil, first time ever. Hurricanes on the increase, volcanoes on the increase, earthquakes, of course, increasing tremendously. And everything else that I've seen, pictures of some photos, early photos of Planet X approaching. It's a shame that Planet X has to come from behind the sun and is very difficult to view for the naked eye or even for minor telescopes. Spiritually, I've grown an awareness that we are not alone in the universe. I am comfortable with that. I am comfortable that there is alien life. I felt it was kind of arrogant that humans think themselves so centered that we're the only people that exist in the whole universe. It just didn't make sense to me. I plan to try to survive what's coming, and I want to help restore civilization. Again, it just seems odd that civilization just sprung up in 3000 BC. and all of a sudden there was city, state system, agriculture was already in progress, and there's no real evidence of any of that evolving over the ages up to that point. So it Planet X does make sense. It explains a lot of what was in the Bible. As far as worries go, I have worries that, yes, I hope we'll have enough time and before Planet X to make final preparations. But fortunately for myself, I don't have to run or hide or travel somewhere to get to where I need to be. And luckily, Zeta Talk officially confirmed that where I live is on a borderline. It should be okay without, like, if I was in a neighboring state of New Jersey, obviously I would be scrambling for another place to go to. Physically, it has taken its toll, and spiritually, of course, psychologically, in that you worry about making plans long term. You worry about, I've been more generous than ever as far as giving money to people, because after the change, after what's going to happen is that money's going to be worthless. It's really what you do for people that counts. And I've always been the one, if I had the means and ability to do things, I would do things. And I have stored up plenty of food, plenty of water, plenty of other supplies. And hopefully I planned everything. But unfortunately, the hardest part is that it's a one-person show right now. My wife had passed away several years ago, and she believed in it. She also, but at the same time now, my children do believe. But it's hard to convince them to prepare for things that's totally, may or may not happen. We were lied to once, and that was the biggest drawback, is that, is it really going to actually happen? And I do believe it, but again, the time frame is the key, and I understand where Zeta Talk is coming from. I do think it is imminent within the next couple of years, maybe tops, could happen within the next 6 months. But whatever way it happens, it'll be okay with me.
Hello, I'm Roger, president of Troubled Times Incorporated. We're a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping mankind survive during troubled times when self-sufficiency may be the only answer. Our organization offers a twin set CD of survival information at cost to the public. The CDs are in hypertext and PDF format, two popular browser formats, and contain all the information collected by the Massive Troubled Times website. The CDs allow you to browse this information offline at your leisure. The cost of the twinned pair is $4.10, and this includes postage. You can also get the survival booklet, a hip-sized booklet of the gift of the Troubled Times advice, for just $5, including postage. We offer a popular combo package for $7.50 that includes both the CDs and the booklet, with the lower postage expense reflected in that price. Send for your copies today to start making practical plans for your and your family's survival. Just click on the $4.10 CD link at www.zetatalk.com, and your copy will be on its way.
That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought. Those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.